Welcome to the Stewards of Stoke podcast, an adventure podcast that gets you stoked for the outdoors through stories, interviews with athletes, and industry professionals. Sit back, grab a hazy, and join Matt and Braven for this episode of Stewards of Stoke.
Welcome to the Stewards of Stoke podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt.
And Braven here.
We are hanging out here at good old Red Leg Brewing in Colorado Springs, sitting up on the rooftop. Sun's going down.
Beautiful view. Looking at the mountain range.
Got some hazies.
Oh, yeah. Always hazies in hand.
We're on summertime. What you been up to?
Oh, lots of riding, lots of lifting. It's kind of the same old, same old. Getting ready to gear up and go down and visit some in-laws down in Texas. Nice. Taking the bike with me. Gonna rip some flat land down there and...
Hell yeah.
Yeah, just beating around town. How about you?
Just a little bit of work here and gonna take some time off almost the majority of July and get some riding in and go to Disneyland for little man's two-year birthday. We just hit last week. We hit a Cheyenne Canyon, hit some Captain Morgans for
Captain
the first
Jacks,
time.
Captain Morgans. You hit the flyover, which is pretty sick.
It's been a minute since I have, I don't know about nervous, but like excited nervous to hit something.
It was excited nervous, but here's the thing. We're sitting at the bottom of this flyover and I'm getting staged at the bottom like, he's going to hit it and get my phone ready. and he just comes trucking out of nowhere and I go, oh boy, he's going for it. I got the film going, got a little video for you there.
Yeah, I
sissied out. I did not hit the flyover.
You'll hit it.
I will. I'll get there by the end of summer. I'm gonna wait for a nice hero dirt.
Yeah.
I don't wanna be it going was, taking any rips like J Rod over here.
Yeah, we got our buddy J Rod who's just been fucking sending it, hanging out with us. Like you said, it was an excited nervous for sure.
It was.
It's been a minute since I've hit some shit like that. Definitely back to my racing days for sure.
I could visibly see you shaking in a good way.
No, it was a good time for sure. And then we're hanging out and J-Rod over here is doing his dash race time for the day. So he did our 2,000 feet of climbing over 7 miles and then split and managed to catch up to us because he's fast as fuck. And then took a solid hit at the end there, but fucking recovered like a champ and set some PRs on that one. So, yeah, he's crushing it. So what's your Instagram handle?
JRod_DH.
So if you get a chance, go follow JRod_DH because you'll find some fucking sick chin camera action.
And don't let the GoPro effect fool you. Trails look really mellow and he makes them look really easy. But if you get out there, you're probably going to end up walking your bike a couple of miles.
Yeah, he definitely, we were in for it with Captain Morgans. I didn't think it was quite at that level, but so
it's pretty gnarly. Some pretty good rollers, some drops.
Yeah, it was a lot more than I thought it was gonna be. And shout out to Colorado Springs Mountain Bike Association for getting all that put together and getting us some directional downhill mountain biking trails here in the Springs.
Oh yeah.
All right, so I'm sure we could talk for a minute if we wanted to about all the things, but
we got a very special guest here today.
So I want to introduce, we got Tommy Parker, who is the founder and badass behind Tack Adventure Wear. Tommy has been one of our supporters from pretty much like day one when we got started. And
probably our biggest supporter so far.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. So he is in town from Phoenix, Arizona. So we are excited to have him. So Tommy, without further ado, how's it going?
Oh, man. Look at where I'm sitting. This is awesome. I did get down to Pueblo, though. That was a pretty...
Culture shock.
Culture shock.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe... This is what's interesting about my experience down in Pueblo, is how many clapped out diesel pickup trucks there are down there. And every dude that had a clapped out diesel truck insists on coal rolling the entire town.
They do.
Yeah.
And
what's the story with that?
You know, I don't know. I think that there's an influence down there, and there's a certain culture that likes those kinds of trucks. And I mean, to each their own. I prefer to lift my truck if I'm gonna be riding around, and I want to sit higher off the ground. I don't know what the deal is. You know, maybe they want to load their dirt bikes in a little bit easier. I don't know what it is.
Can't speak to it.
You know, I mean. As a man who drives a Subaru, I'm very comfortable with my sexuality. So maybe they're compensating, but you know,
maybe.
I mean, it's Pueblo. So, but before we start talking about tack, you want to kind of tell us about the man, the myth, the legend behind the brand?
I'm just a dad from Phoenix, Arizona. So, a native to Arizona, I grew up dirt biking, eventually got into cycling. Mountain biking, did the whole multi-sport, you know, triathlon, duathlon scene for a bit. And then about 6 years ago, I found myself pursuing divorce and, you know, I have kids, three kids. And, I thought, you know, that this could be a pivotal time with myself, with my kids. I'm either going to get closer to them or I'm going to lose them. One of the two. So I decided to try to find that something that might potentially bring us together during a dark time. So the intention was well intended is to start a business. We didn't know what we were going to do. It was just something to, the idea was to put our phones down and kind of talk through a business idea, knowing that we're involved in dirt bikes and mountain biking. At least I was. The kids were kind of shielded from getting into all of that, just probably from a family member that was in a pretty bad accident. Their mom kind of didn't want them getting too deeply involved. So
what mama doesn't know won't hurt her though, right?
That's right. That's right. So we decided to come out with a brand. It wasn't really well thought out, but we came out with a brand. And so the brand name is TAKK, T-A-K-K. So it stands for Tom, Allie, Kai, and Carson, my three kids. So the intent was, of course, is to have us all involved. But of course, with the kids kind of going back and forth between two homes, they were only partially involved. But then there were kids kind of growing and finding their own passions, their own desires of things to do. So in their life. So like I say, it was well intended. It didn't go exactly as planned, but we still forged ahead with it.
And you kind of mentioned that maybe they're going on some of their own adventures and exploring business opportunities. Are they diving into different businesses or?
Yeah. Well, so my son, he's really into foreign exchange trading. Ooh. He gets up at 5-6 o'clock in the morning and does his trades if something makes sense. And so that's kind of his passion. My daughter, she got into volleyball. She's playing club sports. My son played club sports too. But they kind of drifted away from that, over time. And so, you know, I got to say they're good kids. They're good people. That's what we as parents hope for is our kids turn out to be good people. So I'm proud of them.
Well, and I think it's really cool that you're exposing them to the business side, you know, teaching them about how to outsource. And, you know, I can't even imagine what goes into a business. There's the outsourcing of the product. There's, you know, selling the product, marketing the product, everything, you know, and you're kind of teaching them that realm. And, you know, you don't know what you can do until you just jump in head first and kind of start figuring it out. And so I think that as a father, you know, you're teaching them all those valuable skills that, you know, maybe they'll take a piece of what dad taught them, start a business of their own, you know?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, I've had more failures than I've had successes in this. I'll just tell you straight up. And so I think it's good to be able to share that with the kids. Like, don't let the failures get you down. Use those as the primary learning experience, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like too, obviously, like not only is that part of a business, obviously that's the life lessons that you want your kids to learn and to be able to like overcome just struggles and that kind of thing, setbacks, and be able to figure out how to manage that and kind of like suck it up and move on, I guess, like get past it and have the resources and be able to think through those kind of things too. So
yeah. Perseverance.
Yeah, exactly.
Good skill there.
Yeah. So you kind of started to touch on it. Let's get into kind of what was your inspiration for starting TAKK?
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not a personality type. I perceive myself as being one that I don't do well with idle time. And so I got it.
And here you are behind a microphone.
Yeah. Thanks to you guys. Yeah, I don't do well with idle time. So if I have idle time, I'd rather be productive with it and learn. You know, you're never too old to learn, right? Mm-hmm. And here I am, 56, almost 57, and I'm still learning a lot. And so I'm proud of it. Those, like I say, you know, kind of going back to those failures, they hurt. They hurt hard. They hurt financially. They hurt emotionally. But when you have a dream that you believe in so much, you don't give up until that dream is conquered. And then you keep dreaming, right? You don't wait for those KPI reports to come out. Because I don't know, once those KPIs come out, then I feel like you've kind of lost the dream. So you got to keep that dream. So I'm still dreaming for success in all of this. So
now for a numbskull like me, what's a KPI report?
Yeah, so that's going to be like...
Yeah, that's fair. I totally looked at him and shook my head like I knew what like he was talking about. I'm just like, yeah, yeah, those.
Yeah, that's what big corporations are looking at, numbers for profitability.
Okay.
Right? So I kind of feel like when those big corporations are looking at numbers, are they still thinking about the dream that inspired them to start? And so, yeah, looking at numbers is important, but don't forget about the dream. So that's kind of where I'm at with that.
Yeah. So, but why gloves, why jerseys? Like out of all the businesses that you could start, like why adventure wear, I guess.
Sure. So
yeah. Why not dildos?
You are going to be the reason that I have to put explicit content on this.
I know.
Remember how I told you one of my failures? May or may not have been that.
Hey, there you go.
It's not an adventure wear. So
depends how you look at it.
I mean, it could be, I guess. Anyway, before we go too far off the rails, yeah. I think we've had a... Maybe these hazy IPAs from Red Leg are starting to kick maybe, in, make maybe, us laugh a little extra.
Maybe a little bit. I'll put it down.
So I decided to venture into owning my own design templates for custom moto gear. And it would resonate to the privateer, the weekend warrior, or even groups. And right away, I've this group out of Arizona called ATR, Arizona Trail Riders, embraced us right away. Within weeks after that, and that was Don Hood and Frank Staley. Those guys are the shit. Those guys are awesome, man. I appreciate them. They were the first to embrace us, so that was cool. Right after that was Ghost Riders. They have a dirt bike club and a street bike club, and Lee Cunningham, who's the admin of that group, embraced us also. And brought us into the fold. And so they supported us. We supported them. We gave them swag for giveaways. And then a lot of their community, you know, bought custom gear from us. So the more we started seeing the need for something unique and different and the customizability of what we could do, everything was a yes. If a customer came to us, can you do this? Yes. Even if I didn't think I could, yes. I'll figure out a way to get it done. You just get it done. And so that started to separate us apart.
I like that.
And I feel like too, like with that, like you guys kind of, you have that different approach of being able to personalize in a smaller quantity versus, there goes J-Rod, being able to personalize in those lower quantities that kind of tailor to like some of those groups that aren't 50 plus people. It's the groups that are just getting started or the bike shop that just wants some gloves with their logos on it but doesn't want to buy 100 of them. So
exactly. And that's how it was with the moto pants and jerseys. And then we ended up finding groups that had a pretty big community following where they said, hey, we want this look, but we want everybody to have a different, their own name and their own number on the back or whatever custom. And so, you know, we do.
And they also didn't probably want to spend $150 on just their one jersey.
No, as a matter of fact, it was never like that. But we made it work. And So yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to see our brand slowly but surely getting out there.
Yeah, that's cool. And it kind of brings us into part of the next question. So this is a quote from your website. TAC's mission is to unite off-road communities through quality gear and reflects shared moments of brainstorming, failure, and success. Can you kind of explain that, I guess, your mission statement and that?
Yeah, so we learned that there were so many community groups out there that just didn't know that they were a tied together community. And so when I would talk to them and just say, but you are a community, you know, you should brand yourselves as such. And then, you know, then the cogs would start turning. And then, you know, all of a sudden we're getting, you know, these large event orders to make that community an identified group. And so like Arizona Trail Riders Association, they have an annual adventure motorcycle event called Howling at the Moon. And so they've been nice enough to reach out to us and do their annual jerseys for their event. They'd have 200 riders and we would host their custom jerseys. And they're always nice enough to have us put our brand on there too. So it was really neat to see these big events go down with our brand out there.
Well, and you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head with your mission statement of finding community, because I feel like it doesn't matter who you are, whatever your niche is, everybody's looking for community. Somebody wants to fit in somewhere, and there's so many opportunities. And, you know, you're bringing these communities together. You've got out on our trails, you know, at any given time, you can see horse riding groups. You can see mountain bikers. You can see motocross riders, trail runners, anything. There's so many groups and people that are trying to find community. And, you know, with your company, you know, TAC, and trying to find, you know, how you can unite those communities, that's something special.
Thanks. Yes.
You know, you're kind of a center hub there for many people.
And too, like you kind of touched on it, like you're not obviously like you've kind of put, I guess, like your life philosophy into a business in that way of like, you're not just telling somebody to, or some group to come up with a brand because obviously you want their business and to make money, but because like, I just feel like even with the two jerseys that like we have, like it kind of makes you feel like you're a part of something more than just like, hey bro, let's go ride. You know, like we've met J-Rod through like our Stewards of Stoke podcast. Like we're sitting down with you. You're in town from Phoenix, Arizona. Like it kind of like brings it all together, all for full circle. And like, you have just found a different way, to bring that in instead of like a Facebook group or like something like that. Like you have a badass physical product that in a way unites people and to kind of represent their community.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that very much.
Actually, I believe actually custom gloves from you. His name's Jonathan. I'm not sure if you know him or not. I was with the Yami boys.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. They just came in today, actually.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Jonathan, and then I had a friend from our guy who knew me before he even moved here from my videos. Moved out here from out there in Arizona to Colorado. So,
that's cool.
So funny story. Funny story with Jonathan. He reached out to me and he had said that. So my dad passed away like 2.5 years ago. And he had reached out and said that he just goes, you know, I replaced a windshield on your dad's car. Yeah. And he was talking about TAC Adventure Wear and my son does this. And it was just this weird connection of how we got to know him. So we started talking and then he ended up placing an order of custom gloves for the Shred Shed.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, those just arrived today. So I'm excited to get those to him.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And yeah. Still joining communities.
Right. Yeah. There you go. Look at like you finally met J-Rod today and you guys already small world.
Yeah.
Connected.
How about that?
So I have a section on here called product and design philosophy. I kind of want to tie all those questions into one because we were talking about it earlier when we were hanging out drinking some hazies downstairs there. Kind of walk us through, like, I guess it would be part of your inspiration to design gloves, but then also, like, you you had some people test the initial glove that you got sent, and then you took combinations of like other designs, and you wanted it to do to become one to make the epic gloves that we've all been rocking for the last couple months. Can you kind of walk us through like what you added, what you didn't like, what you kind of wanted them to create and all that?
Yeah. So, my current supplier, his name is Saad. It's him, two brothers, his dad, and some cousins. They make custom gear. He was very persistent with me, and I kind of pushed him off. And so we eventually caved and decided to accept his sample offerings. And this guy, I say guy, he's 19. He started design work at 14. And he has a work ethic that is like no other. Like, you just don't see that on American soil, this kid's work ethic. He stays up till 1 o'clock in the morning, his time, which is 1 o'clock in the afternoon, our time, and works. He will provide designs, provide mock-ups. The kid works. And so he bends over backwards for our success. So I sent out some samples. We took the best of the variety of different glove samples in this case and said, can you make it with this? Can you make it with that? Add this, add that. And he's like, yeah, no problem. Got it. Sent it out again. So then we turned it loose on a pro dirt bike athlete, Will Gross. And we said, all right, Will, I need you to put these through the paces and find out where it's going to fail, if it is. And so we got the feedback. We made some adjustments. Also had some teenage mountain bike athletes. I guess I haven't told you guys about this. Blake Rhodes and Cadet Landon. And these guys are hardcore teenage athletes that I knew on the mountain bike level would put it through their paces, because I wanted both. I wanted the punishment of a dirt biker, and I wanted the punishment of a mountain biker, and kind of blend the feedback. So we did, and we made these final adjustments. I mean, down to the point of where do we put the touch screen pad on a finger? Usually that's on the index finger. That doesn't work, because when you take out your phone, then you got to use two hands. So we thought, well, let's just put it on the thumb. So that way, when you take out your phone, you swipe it with your thumb one-handed. You don't have to stop your bike. So like all those little things just added up to what we feel is a badass glove. Then furthermore was to make it durable enough, but breathable enough. So the entire palm of the hand, all the way through the fingers, as you know, can breathe. It's ventilated. Yeah. So because the entire hand can breathe, we could then go with the more durable, thicker, slightly thicker material.
And I think, like, you guys can both attest, J-Rod and Raven can attest to this, like, basically, like, in the middle of your hand, there's not, like, a see-through vent, but, like, that would be, like, the biggest vent of the glove. And I noticed that, I mean, we did 2,000 feet of climbing last week. Like, we did, what, 12 miles, I think, 11 or 12 miles. Like, thinking about it now, like, at no point did my hands hurt, did my hands feel sweaty by any means. Like, I had good grip the whole time. And then just some of the reinforced gel too, like on top of that, like just the combination of kind of what you've created, like it's a badass glove.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I think too, when you look at just the durability factor, you know, I tried multiple different kinds of gloves. You know, the one that pops into my mind is Fox Racing. Tried some Fox Racing gloves. Didn't last very long. You know, they tore up pretty quick. Ended up chopping the fingers off, you know, where the seams where your index fingers be popping through. And, you know, I've ridden in these Tack Adventure gloves every day for, what, 3 months now or so?
I was going to say, I think we've been going hard on them for
a while.
Probably like 2 or 3 months. And, like, I mean, mine don't even look like I've barely worn them.
No, they look brand new.
J-Rod over here hasn't taken them off, so he's putting them through the ringer.
He's
for
still
sure.
wearing them.
Yeah, we take pride in that because, you know, for us at home, like, we would buy Fox gloves, we'd buy Euro gloves, and 100%, and we're buying brand name. But what's interesting about these big brand names is it just didn't feel like the quality was there. And so I'm like, well, there's got to be a way to make it better.
Well, too, like, along with that, like you said, the quality isn't there. Like, one, I think part of that is I feel like across the mountain bike community, like we get the brand that we want to rock, and we're willing to give up some of the quality and some of the like the minor things, like little details that like you have put into this, put into a glove because of the brand name, right? Like I feel, I mean, that's not across the mountain bike community. I feel like that's any type of community in general, but like you're saying, like
More willing to go into the brand and be like, I want to wear this shirt or I want to wear this glove or whatever, because it's a cool Fox brand. And,
right.
You know, where I'm from in Indiana, it's like mountain biking was probably a little bit, or dirt biking was probably a little bit more bigger than mountain biking. And that is what it was. It's cool to have a little Fox sticker on the back of your car or whatever. And, you know, you're sacrificing the quality for the brand name, and it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And really for bike shops, there's a, as I've learned through all of this, there's only one entity that is really making money on in this case gloves, and it's the manufacturer. Because if you go into these bike shops and if you're so bold to ask the owner, are you making any money on these gloves? They're going to tell you no. It's a loss leader, but they have to have them. And so they are going to have the same exact Fox glove as their neighbor up the street, or like what Amazon has. So they're competing against all of those. So instead of charging $30 or $35 for a pair of gloves, they're charging $20 or $25. They're making no money on it. So how is a bike shop supposed to be in existence when they're having to compete with what their neighbors have? So that's where we came out with our line to say, we can say yes to anything that you want. Whatever kind of design, whatever kind of detail, whatever sort of gel padding, what we can say yes, and we can make whatever you want. So then that means that the bike shop has something that is different than their neighbors up the street, that is different than what Amazon carries. So now the bike shop can charge $30 or $35 instead of $20 or $25. And now they're making some profit on an item that was a loss leader. So we're proud of that, because we're, of course, TAC is making money too, but then our retailers are making money as well.
And too, like we kind of touched on it earlier when we were chatting, and just like, I did in Sedona, like you go into some of these local shops and you want something that, like, I'm not going to buy some shit when I'm out of town that I can, like you said, order on Amazon, order at all the bike shops around here or something like that. Like we went to Bike and Bean, like I wanted some Bike and Bean socks because, you know, we're mountain bikers and socks are cool. And like, what's is it Thunder Mountain?
Thunder Mountain.
That who puts on? Sedona Bike Festival, kind of, mm-hmm. In a way.
Yeah.
Same thing. Like I got some of those socks because like that's cool. So like you being able to, I feel like socks is the common thing. Like Sock Guy owns that industry, but yeah. Like to be able to spend less or spend a few dollars more, but get that custom shop logoed glove versus the industry standard, if you want to call it that, of the Fox glove or I don't know whatever other
100%
glove. To be able to buy something that's unique to that shop, like, and in return that shop gets more money because they're not being charged this outrageous amount. Like it's good. Once again, goes back to the community and like all that stuff. So I think that's,
and it just feels better supporting a small business as opposed to some giant corporation that if you look up the chain, they're probably owned by somebody else that's, you know, a little bit higher up that probably doesn't even care about mountain biking, you know. And, you know, getting to sit down with a guy like you and understand where the process of this whole glove came from and getting to wear it. And, you know, just for the people that didn't get to see the behind the scenes process with you, and I know that you and Matt were kind of a little more hands on with each other when it came time to design this Stewards of Stoke TAC glove. But, you know, you're going through the design process. You're having your design guy look at different things, you know, placing the logo in different spots. You know, what do we want on this jersey? What do we want on these gloves? And kind of walking us through, you know, you're like, you're going to have this design and you want it to be detailed. So we got to work with this kind of material. And so you're a very hands-on guy where if you're having an issue or you want something tweaked or tailored a little bit, you know, you're the guy that's going to step in and actually do it. You know, you're not going to get the head representative of these massive companies, you know, Fox, whatever, you know, all great companies, but still, you're not going to get these guys taking time out of their day, sitting down with you, making a phone call, sending you a voice message, whatever it is. You're not going to get that kind of support from the major corporations. You know, it's going to be your local guy like you who's taking the time out, you know, making sure that the customer's happy, making sure the design looks good. And not only just for the customer, but for your own reputation of like, you don't want to put something out that sucks, you know, and it's very clear that you take pride in what you do, and it shows in the quality of the glove. It Thank simply, you. It does. And we're not trying to fill your head up here. We're just telling it like it is. Cause you know, we've said multiple times, we're going to be very honest about, do we like a product? Do we not like a product? What's good? What's bad? You know, and you know, picking apart these gloves for the last couple months, and this being a very long overdue podcast for a review of these gloves, you know, it's very clear that these are the gloves that are going to withstand time, and they just look fucking cool. They just do.
Oh yeah.
It turned out gloves. Nice. And you know, really, I thank you for all of that. That's very, very kind words, but, you know, giving credit where credit's due, that's Saad, our manufacturer. He's the one that was willing to bend over backwards to give me exactly what I wanted and options. And so, so it, you know, in addition to with the gravel community that is just detonated, right?
Booming.
We needed a different, an additional offering. And he was just like, what do you need?
Yeah.
What do you need? And so again, so I just fed him the details and he produced it. So he's the guy. I'm just the go-between.
So now that you kind of say that, what is the difference between like a mountain bike glove or a downhill glove compared to a gravel glove? Just lightweight or... You know, well, what's that look like?
Again, everybody's different, right? And so when you have options and you have variations, you can make exactly what the consumer wants. So what we've heard is gravel bikers, of course, there's the suspension on their bikes isn't there, and they're going over a lot of vibration, which transfers into the body, which means body fatigue. So I thought if we came out with a glove that had low profile gel pad to take up some of that vibration, it's going to reduce the body fatigue on the rider. They're going to be able to go further distance without that fatigue. It's for a lot of people. A lot of gravel bike riders like that glove, but then others like myself, I just want to feel everything. I'll deal with a vibration to want to feel everything, but not everybody's like me. So it's an option. And so we found bike shop owners are not the same across the board. Some might like Lycra. Some might like the heavier duty material. It's just their preference. So because we have all kinds of variations and options, they can customize and get exactly what they want.
Yeah. And too, so like the gravel ones are the thicker ones that you've sent us, right?
Yes.
And then the thinner, like just mountain biking ones are the with the yellow writing that say... Hazy IPA, single track and stoke. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like them both.
I like them both too. I really like the padded ones the most.
Yeah.
Those make most sense.
I think for climbing those long rides where you're climbing the canyon, like you're going down here, we have Gold Camp, which is a pretty frequented route by gravel riders.
Good gravel route.
And then like the padded ones, definitely for sure for that kind of stuff. And then when we go just ripping around a couple of miles in Palmer Park or like some of our shorter rides, Ute Pass, just the thinner gloves. Like I like both for different reasons, I guess. And both are definitely solid gloves.
Absolutely. I want to go back. Your guy over in Pakistan who's making the gloves, what's his name again?
Saad.
Now you say he's a designer. He makes all these gloves. Does he make product for any other company, or is it just TAC, or is he kind of expanded out to other companies at all?
Yeah, he does. He's talked about a pretty significant company out of Germany where he'll make them by the thousands at a time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it's four or five guys making all these gloves.
I think he said it's a total of like 9 or 10 in production.
Okay.
And they make it by hand. Nothing is automated. Yeah. Nothing's automated.
I think that's a big piece too.
Oh yeah,
you know, sure. When you're making something by hand, you're sewing everything. You're gluing everything together, and it's all done by the human eye, by the human hand.
It's a lost art.
That's a big difference compared to a big company who's producing thousands by a machine.
Yeah, and they can scale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're prepared to scale, and they work like when things are really humping with purchase orders.
Yeah,
they work 7 days a week.
That's crazy.
It's the craziest thing.
You're definitely not gonna not find that. You're definitely not gonna find that work ethic here in the States.
Not on stateside, yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because there's a big push for American made, and it's like, I'll buy American made when it's the same quality of what I'm getting, you know, out of Pakistan or Thailand or whatever. Yeah. It's like I want that quality. But,
yeah,
you know, usually when you move something stateside, price goes up, you know, yeah.
Which, right, isn't necessarily obviously a bad thing because obviously we want the U.S. economy to do good.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, like when you find your producer or your manufacturer and like you're still as going back to community, like you're supporting that small business. Yes, it's not in this country, but it's still.
Still
small. A
small
business. It's a family that you're supporting. Like I would take that over any like stateside huge
large brand
for sure.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we've become friends, and you know, he talked about like I don't know, it was about maybe 6 months ago where his eldest brother got married, and you know, he felt compelled to share that with me, and so yeah, it's cool. Like, hey, that's cool. So hey, in our culture, we send gifts. Is that cool? And so he's like, yeah, send away. So yeah. Tax sent his brother a gift. We've never met him.
That's cool.
And then, you know, they had a family member, his aunt passed away, I don't know, maybe 4 months ago or something like that. So it's like, you could tell the sadness in their family. So it's just like, man, he shared that with me. I take that serious. You know, that's a friendship. So I value that a lot.
That vulnerability. And, you know, we were kind of chit-chatting earlier and you'd mentioned faith and you'd mentioned kind of your perspective on giving and how, you know, you don't expect anything in return when you give something and, you know, but it always comes back tenfold in one way or another. And I think that, you know, just your willingness to take a step or to take a risk really and go with these group of guys that are going to make your glove and, you know, you're giving them gifts and they're sending you, you know, product to test out and everything. And just that trustingness and your ability to give and not expect anything in return. I think that's a really cool thing that most people aren't open to doing, you know, and we keep going back and bashing on the big guys, but it's like the big guys aren't going to care like that. It's just, it comes down to the fact that we're going to know you, we're going to get to talk to you and get to share our thoughts on this product. And, you know, it's just a really cool thing that you're so open to embracing so many people of the world. So I really love that. Cool.
And too, just like, I mean, like we've become friends over, we probably talk like every other day.
Yeah.
I feel like. And just to be able to have that like personal connection, like with TAC, like I said earlier, like you believed in us from the very beginning of us starting our podcast and, just to have, yeah, like that friendship behind the brand, I think brings it full circle and on a whole nother level for sure.
I mean, you can ask my wife. She's like, she's probably tired of me talking. Like, I'm meeting with Tommy. He's the guy from TAC, and you know, she just knows you as the guy from TAC. And that's funny. You know, I've been super jazzed all week when you said you were coming into town, and it's like, yeah, we're gonna get to make this thing happen. And yeah. You know, I'm sitting here. Tommy's coming. It's like, man, is this Santa Claus here or something. You know, it's like it's just so cool, man. Just getting to meet you, and you know, and there's always this first bit of nerves when you're meeting somebody new and you just met them online. It's kind of like Plenty of Fish or something, man. You know, we've kind of hooked you here and getting to meet you. And it's just, it's really cool. You're such a down to earth guy and so easy to like, you know?
Thank you.
Oh yeah.
Buttering you up some more.
You know, the good in all of this, you know, for the last 3 years is, you know, talking about the give and being able to support athletes.
Yeah.
So we've never jumped into supporting pro athletes right out of the box. And the reason for that is they're automatically by default going to get corporate sponsorship.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Right. What about the person that is like at this intermediate level that has a 40-hour a week job, maybe they're going to school and they're busting their butts hard to try to get to that next level. Jared? Is that what you said?
I said J-Rod. I was like, this guy right here.
He's the guy I'm thinking of when you say that. You're like, he's the guy that's working his ass off during the week. And then, you know, he's only been mountain biking for about a year, really. And he's down here setting these PR records on these trails. And it's just shit that we can't do. And, you know, I've been riding for 4 years now. You've been riding for, you know, 13 to 15, 20, however many years.
Yeah.
You know, and just seeing a guy like him. And I don't want to interrupt your story there, but that's kind of how we started too. It's like, you know, we're not professional mountain bike riders by any means. There's some trails we come up to and we go, holy shit, I can't ride this. I'm going to walk my bike down. And that's what we're trying to appeal to, is your small guy, your average Joe that's going out and just getting after it as much as they can. And so, you know, back to what you're saying, you know, I want to let you finish with that. It's exactly what we're trying to target too. So you're not sponsoring these professional mountain bike riders.
I say no, but we pick them when they're intermediates. And so the hope is, you know, when they go to the pro ranks, that they take us with them.
Right.
So yeah. Is it us riding on the athlete's coattails of hard work? Yeah, absolutely. But maybe
if you can be a part of the story, right? Like, you can be part of the story. You can be part of somebody, like a small part of their story that helped them get there. Like, once again, you said like you're putting that, the personalization, the friendship behind, it's not just a brand that is paying you, like, essentially, right? Like, you guys are building each other.
Well, I'll tell you, when I'm rocking the jersey that you were so kind to give us, and it's got the Stewards of Stoke logo on the chest, it's got the TAC logo here on the abdomen, I'll tell you, I ride about 10 to 15% harder when I'm wearing that jersey. I want to show this shit off. It's I'm a hardcore guy. I'm gonna tear it up now. And it's like, it's the confidence behind the brand too.
Yeah.
You know,
that's awesome.
It's your support. Yeah. It's you pouring your support into people, and that support shows in how proud we are to wear your gear and show it off.
Yeah. Well, too. And like, I mean, like you start sponsoring or helping out like people at that intermediate level, brands don't do that nowadays. And I don't ride as much as you. I don't ride as much as J-Rod, but like for you to support somebody who maybe can't afford something, can't afford that race entry or like something like that, like that's huge. Like another sponsor for a pro, like, cool, whatever, like, you know. But it's like, just thinking like of all the hobbies that I've done, mountain biking especially, like we talked about getting our jerseys made, and like we couldn't afford to buy it's a smaller quantity, obviously, but like that would be a setback, right, for us. And like, you've been generous to be essentially part of our story, and you've supported us, and like that's huge for us. Like what Braven just said, like we love rocking a jersey with your logo, like with our logo. Like to have that opportunity and for you to be in the spot that you are, to be able to help like some lady that has a couple of kids that wants to get into mountain biking and she's good at it, like you being able to approach that and being able to support people like that, like that's fucking awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, it's cool to see. Like we had this guy Mark Denver. He's a badass in our town. He's a good character. He's a good athlete. And so we made him an offer a couple of seasons ago. It was his first cross country season. He's been like an enduro guy, mm-hmm. and he's known in our community. So we just said, all right, let's figure something out. So it was a payout whenever he landed on the box. Well, wouldn't you know, every single race he landed on the box. So I'm like, dude, you're kind of killing the bank here. I wasn't expecting this, but maybe there's something in there that lit a fire in him to answer up to that. Mm. And so that's the hope with this intermediate level of athlete. Yeah. It's just enough to light a new fire for them to excel, to answer up to a sponsor that intermediates just don't get.
Yeah.
And then, hopefully it carries with the athlete into their pro ranks.
And like too, like we interviewed our friend Amanda, who, she's a trail runner, does marathons and stuff like that. Like just talking with her, like I talked about, I was like, what would you want out of a sponsorship? And it was just simple shit. Like I just said, like covering a race fee, like it's just stuff like that, that isn't necessarily like a huge thing, but at the same time, like when you're grinding to pay your bills and
you're working live full life, time.
Like that is huge.
Yeah. Like, it's a forgotten and unrecognized class.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think, And I think that's also one of my favorite things, obviously, other than the badass gear.
Helping the next guy in line. That's just what it sounds like this is. And that's amazing. Another Jared.
Come on, Jared. those of you for the listeners, we joked with J-Rod earlier that his car, that's him doing two-stepping while he's ripping down I-25 and whatnot. So anytime we hear it, we're gonna call it out. Cool. And then let's talk about our jerseys, because we've mentioned them.
Yeah.
What went into like designing from materials to sizing to all that kind of?
So maybe somebody out here listening, a bike shop, somebody that hosts a group, when they have this idea that like, hey, we've got a community together, we want to go ahead and get a jersey together, what is that process going to look like for them to design that jersey with you and then get it into production and then get it to their doorstep? What's that look like?
And to talk about like, I have a couple of tack jerseys, and they're a lot lighter and like release a lot more moisture and keep you dry, more than most other jerseys that I would say I've worn. So kind of incorporate all that into your response.
Sure. Thanks for asking that. So again, we didn't want to just be another jersey. Just like we didn't want to just be another glove, because that can be boring. So how can we make ours different? And what does make ours different? It's lightweight. But I also wanted a material where the graphics were going to pop. So how do you get lightweight and breathable to where it wicks moisture, but still with the material where the graphics are going to pop? So that goes back to Sod. He listened to what I wanted and listened to what I needed. And he produced the first sample run, and I wanted it on white, because I figure if white doesn't hold up clean, then we're going to have a problem with popping colors. Right.
And my white jersey, I've ridden it a couple of times. It still looks brand new. And yeah. I haven't bleached anything. I've just washed it normally. So,
yeah. So, good. I'm glad to hear that. And so that was the test, because Arizona desert dirt is kind of it's bad, right? It's going to show right away.
Oh yeah.
And
I still have my Sedona stains on my white 5/10 free ride pros that I bought.
Oh yeah, yeah. So that was kind of the part of the goal. The other part of the goal behind the jerseys was to make it affordable. Because what I'm hearing from bike shop owners is they're having to buy wholesale their custom jerseys at such a high price that they're having to sell them for $80 and, make $5 or $7 profit. I'll take a hazy.
We got liquor last call right now. So for cocktails and mixed drinks, now's the last chance.
Okay. Whatever anybody wants.
What's the name? Gabitab?
No. Oh. So the goal behind that was to make sure that we could produce it affordably, so that way we could sell it to the bike shops at a much lower price than they're used to, so that way they then can sell it at a profitable point.
Thank you.
And then get their custom logo jerseys on riders' backs, because that's, as we've said before, that's mobile marketing. But when they're having to charge $80 for a jersey, they're not going to sell them. I'm not going to buy a jersey for $80.
Yeah, no. I was going to say, like, I have plenty of jerseys. Like, I get stingy. I get a little stingy after the $60 mark. So unless it's supporting somebody like super small, like that custom jersey, like I'm probably not going to spend more than that.
Yeah. So the goal is to have the bike shops be able to charge $50.
Mm-hmm.
That feels like it's a it's a sweet spot.
Yeah.
Because if you go too low, then that gets perceived as being cheap.
Right.
If you go too high, then they're just not interested.
Right.
So that $50 mark for a bike shop is works out really well.
And I think our pre-order right now is what, 45 for short sleeve and 55 for long sleeve or something like that. Don't hold me to that. What? Click the link and find out for yourself.
Yeah. So going through the process. So you guys kind of gave me a vision of what you wanted. You wanted topography lines. Mm-hmm. And I think we decided on asymmetrical.
Yeah.
Is that right?
And yeah. So the left sleeve is just a flag and then has Stewards of Stoke podcast down on the forearm. No topography. And then kind of like, I'd say a couple inches from the seam is where the topography starts and it goes on the right arm.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, on our moto side, anything asymmetrical in design, I sell the hell out of it. Yeah. I don't know why.
I mean, it looks dope.
It looks cool. Yeah. It looks cool.
Yeah.
So, so I think originally you guys wanted turquoise and that came in pretty cool. And then we stumbled across the baby blue.
Yeah.
And that really popped.
Yeah.
And
sick.
Yeah, yeah. It looks really good. I've seen it on you guys.
Yeah.
So
it looks better on me though, right?
Sure.
I don't know. Something about a long sleeve jersey versus a short sleeve.
It is a kick ass jersey. Yeah. So yeah, you know, we went with the baby blue and
yeah, we got the Stewards of Stoke podcast logo big up front and then tack logo under there and then lower back kind of towards the bottom, another tack logo and then flag and Stewards of Stoke on the left and tack on the right. And it looks fucking badass.
Yeah. And I think the mock-up turnaround was fast.
Oh yeah. It was like 1 or 2 days. And that was still like, we were talking about it on a weekend, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the people that aren't listening, you know, you're sending us pictures of this is what it's going to look like. This is what it could look like.
And that's exactly what it looked like.
Yeah. And going through different ideas, it's like, hey, we want some certain flags on the sleeves. We want different designs. And, you know, you were like, oh, you know, you'd message us and it's like, it's really cool that you guys want to have the TAC logo on there too. And it's like, it wouldn't feel right if the TAC logo weren't on there. You know,
agreed for sure.
You know, it honestly makes it a little bit cooler that way. So. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it turned out awesome. I will say.
It did. Do you have any customers in Colorado? Like bike shops or anything like that?
No. So we just rolled out with the jerseys. That's kind of a brand new thing. Yeah. And I'm looking for brokers, currently,
who would be a broker?
So a broker is going to look like, a person that would sell into bike shops where they bring in multiple lines of accessories. You know, they're going to be selling a bike shop tires and bar tape and, you know, the whole gamut of accessories. So this would be a line item for them to add.
So essentially a distributor. In a way, kind of like a company that has multiple brands and then has accounts with a bike shop that is kind of feeding them product.
Exactly. I make it so easy for our brokers that all they have to do is just get the interest. They link them to me. I do the rest. And we pay very, very well. And that's
Stewards of Stoke broking firm.
There you go.
So we pay very well. I've asked what other brokers are getting paid on apparel and we've superseded that by a lot. And you know, there's room in there to do that. So, and then we make it easy.
And everybody's winning. You kind of mentioned, maybe not on the podcast, but when we were talking earlier, you know, you got your guy over in Pakistan who's, you know, actually making the gloves. You got yourself and you've got a guy that's doing design as well. Will, is that who's doing the design work? Or?
So he did the product testing.
Product testing. Yeah. Okay.
Design work is all sod.
That's all sod.
It's all sod.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's the one that's actually getting on the computer and
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I thought there was another person that was.
Yeah. It's all this one guy. So sod's dad has been in the glove business for 20 years.
Okay.
And then there's three sons. Sod is I believe sod's the youngest of the three sons. And then he had said that there's cousins that work in the manufacturing side.
Yeah,
and then they have some employees as purchase orders need.
Very cool.
Anything else that you wanna And here come more hazies.
Oh, the more hazies.
Anything else that you want our listeners and everybody to
thank you
kind of know about TAC?
Let's see.
Thank you.
He's going through his phone.
Yeah.
Curious to what he's going to.
Oh, shout-outs. Shout-outs. Guy Redshaw from the UK. He and I met on the trails. He was out here out in Arizona visiting his son, and we stumbled upon each other on the trails. Yeah. And of course, I had to give TAC a little plug to the UK guy.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so we got into making some custom gloves for his dirt biking. Nice. You've heard of Cannondale made dirt bikes?
No.
Years back.
No shit.
Yeah. Why? And so he has two of them.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he has two of them. And so... so he needed matching gloves, so we made those for him. Oscar Hale and his boys out of Baja, they put on a once a year event called Anita's Memorial Ride, and these guys are just the kindest guys. So we sponsored Oscar on a couple of events, and they've been very good about promoting us too.
Red Legs getting lit downstairs. I'm sure you can probably hear it and picking up in their mics.
Oh man. Lauren Poole, this guy's in his early to mid 60s, and he's the godfather of mountain unicycling.
Unicycling.
Out of Silver City, New Mexico. He promotes us so much. He's so kind, nicest guy you'll possibly ever meet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
If mountain biking wasn't hard enough, let's take away a wheel.
Take away a fucking wheel. Jesus Christ.
Is that guy that's going down that techie stuff on the unicycle?
Yeah. Yeah, I reposted
he's probably the guy I sent you, and I said we gotta get him on the podcast.
I think we've seen him with your stuff, and then
let's get him to rip down Captain Morgan's.
He would do it.
That's probably a fucking nothing
cakewalk for him.
Cakewalk for that dude.
Yeah. Oh, and then Apex Customs, Jeff Kretsch and his dad Tom, they logoed out my truck for me.
Hell
and
yeah.
They're the nicest guys. They are incredibly successful, but not too successful to help out the little guy.
Heck yeah. I like it.
So that's it.
Cool. And then kind of tell us, where can we find your products and connect with you, social media, contact info, all that?
Yep. So tacadventurewear.com is the website.
Also where our pre-order link is for jerseys.
That's right. It's all up there. I forgot to bring up... I got a little gift for you guys from Hunter Wainwright. Mm-hmm. He made something 3D printed that's pretty badass. I'm not going to lie. Right.
Well,
so I have those out in the car.
If you've made it this far in the episode, then we're going to post a picture of this 3D printed thing. And then if you comment on the picture with what word? Tommy, pick a word.
What's his name again?
Hunter.
Okay. Let's do Hunter.
If you comment on...
Does he have any kind of a site or anything like that?
He doesn't.
No.
But I will donate some Tifosi Moab sunglasses to the cause.
Okay. So you're getting sunglasses. You're getting a pair of gloves. If you comment what the relation is of Hunter to Tommy, which is...
It is, how would I say so?
I mean, you can say whatever you want, because that's going to be the word that you have to comment to win
totally.
This stuff.
Do we make this challenging or tricky? So this would be, I told you about Rhonda.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is Rhonda's son.
Okay, so it would be...
Basically like a son-in-law.
Kind of, yeah.
Kind of, so
yeah.
If you comment the words son-in-law in the comment section of the picture that we're going to post on Instagram, you're going to get some sunglasses from Tommy, and you're going to get a pair of gloves from Stuart the Stoke.
There you go.
Let's do it.
I like it. That's funny. I don't even remember what were we even talking about. What were you talking about?
We were just closing out where we can find Tommy. Where can we find you, Tommy?
What's your social media handles?
TacAdventureWear.com TacAdventureWear on Instagram. Oh, we've got some summer saucy posts going on.
Ooh,
summer saucy.
Yeah. We were talking about that earlier.
Oh yeah.
Tack yeah, After Dark.
yeah, go check out some Tack After Dark pictures. More PG-13 After Dark pictures on Tack, because, you know, Karen's. But
And Whitney from Georgia and her friend are going to, they're on the hook for something upcoming. Oh, yeah.
I like it.
All right.
Well, Tommy, thanks for taking some time.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.
Come and hang with us, drink some hazies at Red Leg, and thanks for all your support for jerseys, gear, friendship, all the things. So thanks for being on our episode.
Thank you.
Cool. And then make sure you subscribe on your favorite listening platform to Stewards of Stoke and follow us on social media. And that way, maybe you can win some free shit from TAC and SOS. And then one thing I want to do is have some people share stories, questions, comments. You can DM us or email us with any info or whatever, info@stewardsofstokemedia.com. Yeah. It's until beautiful. Next time.
Until next time.
Cheers. A little clinky clink.
Clink, clink.
Boom. Yeah.